Welcome to the Village, home of Taking It Back Tuesday, The Kids Corner, Music Moments, The Welcome to the Village Show, and The Second Helping. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I have.
Hey, you got Chance with you.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, brother. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing lovely today.
I see. You got you all in the house just chilling, relaxing?
Yeah, like I said, I'm pushing my stereo like it was, you know, I'm back in the barracks, man.
That's what's up. And if you know anything about the military, you know. Bumping in the barracks. Yeah.
There's straight stereo war.
Or the DSU, yes, whatever you want to call it.
You know, and I was the king.
That's right.
It's like everybody listening that knows, they know.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, Chance, I mean, we got, you know, got some topics tonight. Got a few things we got to discuss. The very first thing that I want to address towards the village, I really want to reiterate something here and make sure that people truly understand what this term means. And that's the Black Lives Matter movement. I want people to understand something. When people say Black Lives Matter, whether it be Black Americans or allies or whatever the case may be, Black Lives Matters is simply saying Black Lives Matter too. We are not trying to take away from anyone else. We've never done that, nor will we ever do that. But right now, we're at a point in history where things are not looking good for us. We are roughly, like I said on the last show, 15% of the population. But we're twice as likely to end up in bad situations. And it's not always our fault. There are some situations, yes, they are our fault. That's life. I can deal with that. But I want people to realize that Black Lives Matter means Black Lives Matter too. Excuse me. It means that we want to count. We want to matter to everyone. Just like a white life matters, a Mexican life matters, an Asian life matters. We want to matter. And that's all we're asking for, is to simply matter to everyone, just like you. Everyone else wants. So if you guys are any way confused about that or anything like that, you know, hit me up. You know how to do that. So that's it. So anyways, Chance, you ready to get these topics, bro?
Yes sir. Let's jump into it.
Let's jump into them. Let's do it. Very first topic, young man that was shot in, I don't know if it's St. Paul, but he was shot in Minnesota. Philando, is that how you say it? Philando Castillo. Young man was in a car with his fiance, and I believe it's his daughter in the back seat. They were pulled over because of a broken taillight, and basically, he was shot and killed in the vehicle. Now, the circumstances seem pretty clear, but again, you don't know what happened prior to. There was a Facebook Live video that his fiance was recording to let people know what was going on. And basically, he told the officer that he was a CCW holder, which is a concealed carry weapon permitted person. There was a weapon in the vehicle. He let the officer know that. From the way that the story goes on the Facebook Live video, the young man said, hey, I'm go the oh I'm sorry the officer said, go ahead and get your license out. That's how it appears. Now, do we really know what happened? No. But the simple truth is, this man was in a seated position. Apparently, the gun was in the glove compartment of this vehicle. So, I guess any officer felt threatened in some way because Flandio was moving his hands. And he released, from what all accounts say, 4 rounds into this young man in a seated position in a vehicle. And this is all over a broken taillight. Chance, bro, what do you got? What do you got to say about this, man?
Man, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You know, the governor of Minnesota, you know, when he came out and said this man would still be alive if he was white, mm-hmm. I think it's a simple summation of Sandra Bland was pulled over for failure to signal and arrested
mm-hmm.
for failure to signal. That doesn't happen to anybody except, you know, that only happens to people of color. you know, you end up in jail with a bag over your head and, oh, you committed suicide.
Yeah, some craziness. Absolute craziness.
You know, this young man did everything he was supposed to do. He alerted the officer that there was a weapon, alerted him that he had license to carry that weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer still felt threatened. You know, after he tells him, you know, the officer says, get your license. How are you supposed to get your license? You know, you can't use your hands. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
No matter, it seems like no matter what a black person does, the white officers feel threatened.
And that's the issue right there. Is what is threatening about us? What makes us African American, Black American, whatever you want to call it, what makes us so threatening to people? You can't say, the one thing you cannot say about us is, oh, or there's a large number of you. Well, that's completely incorrect. We are 15% of the population, depending on what poll you read. We're 15% of the population to 16%. Who knows? I've read some 15, read some 16. Doesn't matter. So you cannot simply say, oh, the numbers scare us. Okay, let's move on to the next thing here, which is what I think it is. Does black skin scare people? That's what I want to ask you, Chance. Does black skin, is it fear? Does it instill fear instantly when someone sees black skin? That's what I want to know.
Man, I think it's a combination of ignorance and prejudice that have been passed down from generation to generation. You know, going back to the story, you know, black women are scared. I mean, white women are scared of black men to be alone around them because, oh, you know, the whole Mandingo thing, hypersexuality and all this kind of stuff. You know, always talk about, oh, black guy's going to steal something. We're all criminals. You know, I look in the mirror. I don't see any criminality when I see me. I don't see a lot of these stereotypes when I look in the mirror. Mm. But obviously, other people, when they see me, that's how they feel. And that's how they perceive me. And it's just ignorance.
Is it because I feel like I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just did, just like everybody else. You know, we live in this world where if for some reason, once again, GarageBand quit recording. So we're back on recording now. So like I was saying, it really just depends on, you know, the variance of what people feel about us. Now, in retrospect, I'm looking at slavery days, like way back when, right? You know, we were fearful of our slave owners, the men that abused us, what have you. But that was a psychological thing. by all accounts, we outnumbered slavery, slaves outnumbered at that time, outnumbered their white slave owners at that time. But we were so mentally mind screwed that we did not know that. Right. But now here it is. It's 2016. You know, there are other forms of slavery now. We're looking at most black men, like I said, we're 15 to 16% of the population. But you look at our numbers that are dead or in jail, and it's absolutely amazing. So, you know, people can't say it's numbers. That's what that's the thing that I'm trying to drive home. It's not numbers. People just need to look at me and look at you and every other black American and say, hey, you know what? Let me get to know you before I judge you or pass judgment on you. That's just where I'm at.
You know, and you bring up a good thing, you know, a good point with the jail. But I wanted to emphasize that, you know, half of the prison population in the U.S. is black and Hispanic males. However, black and Hispanic males do not commit half of the crime in the U.S.
No.
The crime statistics are all proportional to population.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is black and Hispanic males are incarcerated at a much higher rate than their white counterparts that commit the exact same crime. You know, it goes back to, you know, a black man can't use an affluenza defense.
No, we'll never be able to use
that. You know, the Hispanic man, no matter how great of a swimmer he was, the judge isn't going to say, well, you know, that's going to ruin your life if I send you to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's black children are more often tried as adults, even as, you know, as from the ages as young as 9 years old,
mm-hmm,
for crimes that don't even show up on their white counterparts' records because they're not even they're dealt with as minors and most often not even charged.
Yeah.
Black people and Hispanics, everything they do is, you know, it's kind of trumped up. You know, oh, you know, well, you're already a career criminal. So we're gonna penalize you and get you out of society because we feel threatened and you're a menace to society.
Yeah. We think you can become this or we think you're going to be that. And that's such a false thing. You can't even remotely hang your hat on that. You know, I'm just sick to my stomach with this one. You know, I in my mind, Alton Sterling, the situation with him, I said to myself, okay, I'm always looking to see the whole story. Maybe something happened that we didn't know about prior to the video of him actually being shot, right? Maybe something happened.
Right.
But now I'm looking at this young man in Minnesota, Mr. Castillo, and I'm literally like, look, what you were scared. The officer's voice alone let me know that he was scared. He does not know. White officers in this country, let's just be honest here, man. They do not know how to interact with people of color. And unless they grew up in neighborhoods like, you know, let's just say, for instance, where you grew up in D.C. or where I grew up in California, you know, the Compton, Lodge, Lakewood, Bellflower, whatever. Their interaction with people of color is kind of like a trial by fire, for lack of a better word. You know, they get thrown in there. It's like, okay, well, you kind of got to learn this.
Right.
You can easily, with being thrown into a situation, you can learn the wrong way and you can learn really bad habits. What do you do with really bad habits? Well, eventually you get some tenure, you get some time, you get a little bit of salt around your collar, you know what you're doing, but you still have those bad habits. And now, you know, you get a young rookie that comes in and you're passing your bad habits and your mentality off to him or her, whatever the case may be. So it does it go down to training? Yes, it does. And it really, you know, these officers, and I've heard it before, they want some of these officers to live in the neighborhoods that they have to patrol. I understand that not everybody wants to do that, and I get that. But something has to change. There has to be some kind of middle ground to where you know how to interact with people that are black, that are brown, that are white, that are Asian, that are whatever nationality is there. Interaction is vital. And I think that's where the biggest issue is. It's fear of the unknown. And until the unknown is known, I believe we'll continue to see issues like this over and over and over again.
No, I agree. You know, look at states like take two, Wyoming and Montana,
mm-hmm.
where the black population is in the single digits, roughly 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get to a place like that. Where do these officers go to see, you know, where are their black people for them to interact with? The vast majority of them, of these people, have never seen, you know, outside of on TV and in law enforcement, in jail, that's where they see black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at this, Minnesota. Minnesota is 89% white.
Oh, wow.
3.5% black. I just pulled up, you know, real quick on that U.S. Census.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, you know, there are lots of people that don't have any friends, know anybody, hang out with, coworkers, or any kind of interaction with people that don't look like them.
Yeah.
It's you know, when you have 89% of the population of the same race, there's a really good chance that you could have entire neighborhoods where there are no minorities. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but what it does end up doing, it allows for stereotypes to foster. It allows for, you know, people to come up with, you know, incorrect ideas about culture and believe what they see on TV because for lack of any real world experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what happens in a lot of these situations, but I'm also not going to try to sugarcoat it. I think in a lot of the situations, there's a lot of racist people out there as well, you know, and it's starting to seem like it's open season on the black man.
It's, you know, yeah, I hate to say that because that's not what I want to project. That's not what I want to push. But damn, 2 in 2 days here. You know what I mean? Like, it was literally a back to back situation. It's like, what are we supposed to think? You know, what are we supposed to think? I don't know. I don't know how to properly teach my young sons this early. You know, we live in a great neighborhood, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, if something goes down, what's going to happen to my boys, my two black boys, who all right. all the neighbors know my sons. You know, they all, when my sons are going up and down the street, riding their bikes, the neighbors know, I know the neighbors' kids, the neighbors know my kids, and so on and so forth. But if a police officer comes down this neighborhood, what's going to happen? That's something that I am concerned with as a black parent living in this country. I'm not saying, again, I'm going to reiterate this, not all police officers are bad. There are some great police officers, but the police officers that are bad need to be rooted out by the police officers that are good. That good old boy mentality of just shut up and let it go and oh, it's okay. No, those days are over. People are losing their lives on Facebook Live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are this man, if you saw that video, Village, and I didn't want to post it, but I felt like I had to post it because of how powerful it was. This man literally died on Facebook Live. The very application that I'm using right now to give you my live show his girlfriend, fiance, she recorded it. He died right there in the seat next to her on Facebook Live. Something has to change. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Training has to change. Interaction has to change. These things have to change.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I just, you know, I'm thinking, you know, those good cops. If you or I were to witness a crime or participate in a crime or not turn somebody in, there's a good chance we could be prosecuted.
To the fullest.
Right. But police officers can perjure themselves in court. They can cover for other police officers with impunity. And when good cops allow bad cops to continue to perpetrate their crimes, they are no better than those bad cops. They're, I think in my mind, even possibly worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the power to change something, and they didn't.
Yeah. I know it seems scary. I'm not going to lie, Chance. You talking about essentially ratting out another police officer, and I know me and you specifically, Village, I know you guys have probably been raised the same way. You don't rat, right? You don't rat. Mm-hmm. Snitches get stitches. I learned that as a kid, right? But that is such a negative way to think. If someone is doing something wrong to another person, and especially if you are in a position of authority, a police officer or some form of law enforcement, or you're in a position to protect another person and you're taking advantage of the situation, you should be found out and someone should know what you are doing. That snitches get stitches. We have got to stop that mentality. That is a stupid mentality. It is 2016. People are dying. Get a clue, police officers.
You know, I look at, you know, a lot of these guys come around, they're Christian conservatives and all this, and they'll say snitches get stitches. I want to know, what would Jesus do?
I hear you, bro.
Because that is not a Christian ideal, and nor is that a Christian teaching, nor is that biblical in any way. So when there is something wrong, the Bible says what was done in darkness will be brought forward in the light. You're supposed to bring that stuff out, and you don't hide from the truth, because all you do is make it worse.
That's blue.
And I think, you know, and I think, you know, I'm hoping, you know, from the Wednesday show, you know, I'm hoping my prediction is so wrong. I was hoping that Dallas shooting was not tied in any way to anything that was going on. I was hoping my prediction was wrong. But this is the kind of stuff that happens with people. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Okay, go ahead. All right.
So, you know, I was just hoping that the Dallas shooting had no part of any of this stuff that was going on, and it was a totally isolated incident.
Hold on, Chance.
Can you hear me?
No.
I'm here.
Okay. I think what it was on another website to get some information and whatnot. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Just continue.
That's okay. So, I forgot what I was going to say. You know, this whole connection with these black men getting killed. Now, this is what happens when people lose hope. This is what you see in places like in the Palestinian occupied territory, when people revert to terrorism. This is what you see in Baltimore, when people, you know, they feel like they have to riot. This is what you see in LA, when people feel like they have to riot. You know, and this, we people have lost hope, and our government has failed.
Mm-hmm.
And if government continues to fail, we'll continue to move. I mean, this was an anarchist type event.
Hey, Chance, I'm gonna back, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna call you. Little technical difficulty. Okay, Chance. So, once again, yeah. So, what were you saying? I'm sorry. Before we had to restart Skype.
No, I was just saying that, Joe, this is, you know, people lose hope. You know, you see this in war zones. You see this in Palestine. You see this in Baltimore where people have to riot. You know, you see this in LA, you know, over Rodney King. You know, you see this all around when people lose hope and government has failed to provide justice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what will end up happening is, you know, this, if something isn't done and done quickly, so you're going to have equal and opposite reactions. You're going to have those people that have lost hope in justice coming out and enacting their own justice. But mm-hmm. then you're going to have the extremists on the other end. They're going to say, well, we're going to retaliate against all those people that feel like that, you know, they're that, you know, all the Trump supporters basically are going to start coming out with their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where does it stop?
And that's the issue right there. Where does it stop? At what point does enough become enough? Or when does it just become to a point where, hey, people are dying? Once again, I'm going to always go back to that point. People are dying. People are dying. When do we sit down at the table and say, what do you need from us? And this is what we need from you. You know what I mean? When these conversations, they need to happen? Because right now we're going in a really, really bad direction, Village. A really, really bad direction. I cannot even begin to explain to you how bad this could really get. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you how to vote politically, but we've seen what happens with certain people, and I'll leave it at that. Okay? It can get worse than that, I believe. So we've got to figure something out, because this is something that, number one, going forward, this is the kind of thing that can make a person say, you know what, maybe I don't need to be here in this country. There are people that have actually considered, like, you know what, I don't need to be here, and they leave. And I'm not mad at them for that.
You know, it'll definitely, you know, it raises the consideration for me when I, you know, what stadium am I going to live in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I scratched Texas off the list.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I scratched Louisiana off, you know, anything Florida. Pretty much south of the Mason Dixon. Oh, yeah, Florida. Yeah. Shh, Village Idiots. But, I gotta scratch a lot of the southern states off the list. I happen to scratch off a lot of the northern plain states.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Montana, 1% black. You know, they see me up there, what are they going to do? You know, what's he doing up here?
Possibly be confused.
And I think, right. You know, and I think, you know, that's one thing that white people kind of take for granted. They have the freedom to travel and live anywhere in this country they want to without someone questioning why they are there.
Mm-hmm.
Black man can't really go and set roots down in Montana, Wyoming, Utah, you know, a lot of places you just can't do it. Idaho, you know, without there being a lot of scrutiny over your motives, your character, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking, you know, it's, you know, because these are beautiful states, beautiful country, and it's almost like they're off limits.
Yeah.
The people of
you know, I was thinking about, Chance, you know, you were sitting here saying, you know, white America has more of a liberal, like, man, we can go anywhere. This brother, Mr. Castillo, he was driving through a nice neighborhood and this happened to him. You mean to tell me we can't drive through a nice neighborhood without having to worry about stuff like this? That's insane.
Because what are you doing there?
Exactly.
All black people are from the hood.
Yeah.
So if you're in a nice neighborhood, you must be up to no good.
Yeah,
so
you must be. And here I am sitting in the suburbs enjoying a good life. Why? Because I bust my butt and I want my kids to grow up in a nice, good neighborhood. I think any parent wants that.
That's right.
We're no different. Black parents are no different than anybody else. They want their kids to grow up in a great area. That's just what it is. They want their kids to experience everything. That's what my kids are getting. You know, there's no difference. We love our kids just like everyone else. That's it. So Chance, we can talk about this one all night. Let's roll on to this last topic here. This last one, let's talk about this idiot Dallas sniper here. I'm not even gonna say his name, whatever. He shot and killed 5 police officers, and I believe he injured 4 or 5 others. The ones that were injured, I believe 2 of them are still in critical condition, and 3 of them have been released from the hospital. Thank God for that. But he basically said he felt that he was very militant. He was a reservist in, I believe, the Army. Yes. And I believe, from what it sounds like, he was a very militant person. Nothing wrong with being militant, right? But you don't go and kill people if you're militant. That's not something right. that you do. So he basically took a rifle and he started shooting at people. And from what I understand, he hit some civilians as well. And his what's that?
He shot 1 civilian, killed 5 officers, and I believe he hit 11 others.
Crazy, insane, man. And basically, he said his intentions were to take out white police officers. That was his goal. When you do something like this, the Black Lives Matter movement pretty much gets flushed down the toilet when people do stuff like this. How can you yell Black Lives Matter and then you have this man that is going to try to kill someone? Now, I know this man does not represent the Black Lives Matter movement, but in the eyes of many people who have a bigger mic than me, who can reach more people than me, guess what? They're going to push their point and they're going to get their point across. And it's going to reach a larger audience. But with that being said, Chance, one day we'll be there too, brother. I ain't tripping.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it. So what are your thoughts on this shooter, man? Just lunacy for me.
Yeah. I'm waiting to see. There's too much we don't know, I think, still. And I doubt if he acted alone.
Yeah, I don't. I think he had an accomplice. I believe that too.
And I think he's he also had a multiple accomplices. You know, this whole thing about him having bombs and all this other stuff, I know it was nonsense. But you know, this was a well thought out. I don't believe this was spur of the moment. I don't think that he came up with this in that short amount of time, because you know, the police were saying bullets were coming from 2 distinctly different directions.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's kind of like that JFK shooting. No, there were two shooters. So I'm waiting to see what else comes out. Yeah. There's just too much we don't know still.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, you know, what he did is inexcusable. There is, for him to sit back and take aim at law enforcement officers and assassinate these people.
Yes.
This, you know, these people, you know, like President Obama said, these men and women deserve to go home. And that away from, he took them away from their families.
Exactly.
He got off easy by being killed by the explosive ordnance device. I'm not for the death penalty, but I think he should have rotted in jail.
Yeah.
So he could have time to think about and regret his decision.
Yeah.
As he grows old and feeble in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With that on his mind. for the rest of his life. I think he got off easy, and you know, no, it's inexcusable what he did, and at the same time, I don't think he'll be alone. As long as nothing happens, as long as justice still is not given to people who have had their other people who have had their liberties taken away,
mm-hmm.
I think other idiots like this guy will come forward and act the same way.
And then we're essentially we're looking at a war within the U.S.
Yes.
We're looking at a war, an all-out war between militant black and those that wish to cause harm to everyone, essentially. It's ugly. I don't want to take away from the five officers that were killed. Just like I gave Mr. Castillo his pub, my condolences to the family of these five officers. I don't have all the names in front of me, and Village, forgive me for not having all the names in front of me, but the five Dallas officers that were shot, my God, I am praying for them and their families, because that was retarded. You know, if you actually sat back and look at the reports, right, Chance, from what I saw, was it a peaceful protest? Yes, it was. It was so peaceful, in fact, that the police officers were willing to take pictures with the protesters.
With the protesters.
Right?
Yes.
The police officers acknowledged that these people have the right to protest. They were okay with it. As long as you don't act stupid or crazy, y'all do what you do. They stopped and took pictures. They gave hugs to people. They were okay with it. Right? But
yeah.
To me, this Dallas sniper, this idiot right here, you're an idiot. Plain and simple. You shot at people. It wasn't like he went to Minnesota and shot at people or shot at officers. It wasn't like he went to Louisiana and did this. He went to a city that had nothing to do with it and killed innocent police officers.
Yeah, it's like the, like I said before, you know, on Wednesday, it's like when the guy went up to the officer that was sitting in his car and executed that guy,
mm-hmm.
the young officer out there, you know, finally made it to his lifelong dream. And this fool comes up and executes him because he's a police officer,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the name of someone that had an injustice done to them.
Yes.
Committing a crime in the name of justice is not justice.
It's not. No. No. Not even close.
You know, honor someone's memory. You don't honor, you know, the cause and the fight for justice by committing crime.
Exactly. Exactly, man. You know, my God. They lost their lives, man. And they were out there making sure everything was staying in order. They were keeping law and order like they were supposed to do. They weren't beating on anyone. They weren't doing anything like that. They simply were doing their jobs. These people could have been great officers. Never had any issues, right? We don't know their records, and quite honestly, I don't want to know their records. And that's another thing I'm tired of. I'm tired of when it's a black victim, why are we so quick to go and look for records and mugshots and things of that nature? But that's another topic right now, for a different day. The thing at hand is these officers were doing their duty. Why kill someone like that? I'm hoping that this gets dug deeper. I'm hoping the sniper did a tour or two in Iraq. I'm hoping there's some kind of PTSD issue going on. That's what I can hope. Maybe it was a psychological thing and he had just had a full breakdown. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's something that I think that goes almost without saying, that this guy was unstable.
Of course. Oh, yeah.
He was mentally unstable, and he just had a break, and he was willing to sacrifice himself because of this break he had from reality. And you know, and that is a shame.
Yeah,
but you know, honestly, like I don't care about what the officers' records were. They could have, you know, honestly, they all could have been bad officers for all I care.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It did not give anybody the right to execute them.
That's it.
So
that's it right there. Nobody has the right to sit from a roof and execute someone. I get it. You're upset that two African-American men, two brethren, are killed basically back to back. And the whole world pretty much got to see it. And the whole thing with Mr. Sterling, there's going to be a huge investigation into that. We know that because there's so many conflicting stories. There's so many conflicting things that it has to be dug into. Now, the story with Mr. Castillo, I mean, come on. To me, that's cut and dry. But then again, I'm on the other side of this. I don't know what that officer saw or what he thinks he saw. But what I do know is that there is fear in that man's voice. And that's what has to change. Once again, the fear aspect has to change. You cannot go into any neighborhood where there are black and brown people and be afraid of them. Not everyone there is going to hurt you. That is not how this works. That is not how any of this works. You need to be able to interact with young, old, black, white, green, whatever. You need to be and that goes for officers of color, Latino officers, whatever the case may be. These things need to happen. People need to realize that this world that we live in, this is it. The United States of America, this is our home. People need to see that. And so that's all I got on that, man.
Yeah, no, that's a good summation, man. I think about, you know, there's so many incidents. It seems like there's so many incidents because, you know, there whenever some injustice happens to someone and you shed innocent blood, it's a terrible thing.
Man, yeah.
But I gotta keep I keep reminding myself though, there are 3 million law enforcement agents in this country. And if 99% of them are out there doing the right thing, God bless them all.
That's right.
Because, you know, they're keeping me and my family safe right now. They're doing a job that is thankless, that is they get to deal with this a lot of times the worst society has to offer. And, you know, it's a hard, they risk their lives day in and day out. They help people. And I think, it's a job that I don't want to have. Yes. I don't want to do it. So I have the utmost respect for all those officers.
Yeah.
I just wish that now there just needs to be accountability for when officers... when those few officers out there that bad 1% that's out there, they need to be held accountable so they don't tarnish the other 99%.
Yeah. And there are always going to be one bad apple in the group, but you know, we need to reduce as much as we can within much needs to happen within the police force. That's basically the main objective here. But again, and we're going to go ahead and start wrapping this up here. The five officers that were killed, like I said, my God, you know, they lost their lives.
You know, yeah.
They lost their lives. That's I don't know how else to really dig into that. As far as Mr. Castillo and that incident in Minnesota, again, I feel bad for his family, but Chance, do you want to know who I really feel bad for?
Who's that?
I feel bad for the little girl that was in the back seat.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So,
you know.
Yeah, talk about being traumatized.
Yeah. You literally, you're a child. She's four. She's 4 years old. A police officer has just fired four bullets into the car where you're in the back seat. And
she just witnessed a man die.
Witnessed a man die at 4 years old, right in front of her very young, impressionable eyes. That's something that people need to realize and think about. And furthermore...
And then imagine if she was white.
Totally different response, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I can say about her, in the innocence of a child, she comforted her mama. If you guys have heard the playback on the video of the Facebook Live video that she did, you know that she tried to comfort her mom and tell her, she said, "Mom, I'm here." That's a 4-year old that did that. Shows the resiliency of a child. So I just want people to remember that. That's what I want people to remember.
Yeah, and look, and I was just thinking about it after I said it. I want everybody to know the reason why I said, imagine if she was white, is for people not of color and people of color.
Mm-hmm.
To just put that different image in their minds.
Yeah.
And imagine what that would look like.
Yeah.
So it could get more personal and up close to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine that was your friend. Imagine that was your daughter's friend that just went through that.
Yeah.
You know,
bro, it's tragic, man. It's tragic. All right, Chance. So I'm thinking we're going to save because we're recording tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you coming to join me at the library or are we Skyping you in again?
Well, it depends on what time. I'm going to try to head down to the library.
Okay. We'll let you know. We'll figure it out. I'm not sure at the time off the top of my head, to be honest with you. But Village, I'm going to go ahead and put this up for you guys to see. I want you guys to see these videos. And for those of you that are still tuned in live with me on Facebook Live, I appreciate it. But here you are. These are the Welcome to the Village wristbands. They say Welcome to the Village. I have them in blue, black, red, as you guys see. I have the red one on right now. And I also have tie-dye color. It's a tie-dye of blue, yellow, and I believe green. Like you see, it's Welcome to the Village, all one word on a wristband. The Village is selling these for $1, and you guys pay for shipping. So if you guys are interested in the wristband, please let me know. I will get you that wristband. We'll figure out payment information and all that stuff. But yeah, here it is. One more time. Welcome to the Village. Cross the wristband. You guys can support the Village this way. And a special thank you to everyone that participated in our Teesprings shirt, where we had the emblem of Welcome to the Village emblazed. I don't know the word exactly. Forgive.
That's a good one. Is it embossed?
Embossed. There we go. On the shirts, and I'm thankful to everyone that did that. Really am grateful. If you want,
I got mine.
That's right. That's right. And everyone's has been, I got a text from a friend of mine that bought the shirt, and so grateful, man. It's so cool when you see your product, your baby, your brand, and people are like, yeah, I will support you. So I was so thankful for that. Chance, sir, what's your Twitter?
I am at Chance W. Brown.
Bro, you're getting better at this.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know what it is? It's that whole little at thing in the front.
No. Oh. Okay.
I don't know why. It's not an email address, but it keeps messing me up.
Okay.
I keep wanting to say Chance W. Brown at.
No. I can imagine you doing that. All right, Village. So I am at Enlighten My Mind. I'm also at the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Use that email if you would like to order a wristband. you can get a hold of us, excuse me, at 619-202-1562. Leave us a Google voicemail or shoot us a text message. Whatever works. Got a little beer burp trying to hold back there. Sorry, Village. And that's pretty much it. Check out the Facebook page. You know, if you could do me a huge favor, when this video is done, for those of you that are watching still, do me a favor, share the video and tag Welcome to the Village. We're trying to grow the numbers in the Village. We're really trying to get this thing going. If you could just do me that small favor, just please share the video, tag Welcome to the Village, and let's go from there. I got nothing else. We're going to do a top 10 tomorrow. I've developed a new top 10 for jokes. So Chance and I believe Lady J, we're going to get in here and we're going to do it up and we're going to have a good time tomorrow at the Malcolm X Library in beautiful San Diego. We're going to be doing another Facebook Live show because this is what we do. So with that in mind, Chance, on behalf of Chance, the Village, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night, guys.